Friday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
I didn't have time to go into my old ECW box, take out an old New Jack shirt, put it on for tonight. So this will have to do. Man. We just finished talking about last week, a bunch of stories with New Jack. 58 years old, shit. You know, the funny thing is, right now, he's probably up in the heavens and giving everybody the middle finger and probably wouldn't change too much in his life. Man, rest in peace, Jerome Young. Now, look, let me make this clear. I didn't travel up and down the road with New Jack. Didn't talk to him on a regular basis. But was friendly enough with him that he knew me by my first name, saw him at events, came up to me. I've been doing these shows since 1997. Since 1997, I have done nothing but tell funny, hilarious stories, personal experiences with New Jack. And what is so awesome about a lot of it is I have proof. Not that I need to prove it to anyone, but to be able to go into the old hard drives today and pull out a bunch of episodes that we did with him back in the day, looking at the funny Facebook exchange that I told you all not too long ago when New Jack actually thought in 2012 that he was going to face yours truly in a match in Florida. I'm sorry for my longtime viewers that a lot of what I'm going to say tonight you've heard already. I promise to keep it at a minimum. We can do this later on in the week. But, it's just, damn, 58 years old, man, 58 years old. I do have an audio clip. It's about 5 minutes long. I grabbed something as quickly as I could just to give you a vibe of what it was like to do podcasts with New Jack. Must have did about 15 of them. Yeah, most of the time I would be in the background, wouldn't say too much because it was the Mass Maniac show. It was not the Don Tony show. But, you know, having a lot of personal interactive experiences with him, very, very interesting man. Very, very unique man. In fact, the funny thing is that I could guarantee you about 98% of you out there never heard the episode with myself, the Mass Maniac, and New Jack when New Jack was literally not begging me, but trying to convince me that I should put online the pictures he took of Terry Reynolds covered in blood. That was just an odd experience in itself. So in the future, once in a while, I'll pull out a couple of gems. We will reminisce. We will laugh. And the one thing, look, I know a lot of you out there never liked the guy. Guy's a very controversial figure. Some people who said some really horrible stuff about him, you know, in the past, you know, suddenly going to come out tonight for tweet hand jobs and say nice niceties. You don't like him, you don't like him. But I promise you this. Once in a while, where it's needed and we need a good pick-me-up and I play a little clip, you will be left with one thing, and that is the vibe that we always have with New Jack was a positive one, a hilarious one. So we'll do that a little bit later. We'll do that a little bit later. I know a lot of you here are for obvious other topics, SmackDown aired tonight, WrestleMania backlash predictions, AEW and NXT quarter hour ratings. It looks like WWE is teasing the return of the King of the Ring, which will probably air on SmackDown, you know, to get a little extra exposure for Fox. You know, we got quite a few topics to get into today, but I'm not going to lie to you, not in the greatest mood tonight. I could only imagine how his closest friends feel and his loved ones. But, you know, I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, my first interaction with New Jack was 24 years ago. 24 years ago! Time flies, man. Time flies. So, anyway, I want to shout out everybody who is joining me live tonight, even on the archives. Welcome aboard. I'll shout out a couple of super chats in a moment. Did you see Jimmy Uso tonight, the shirt that he's wearing? Yes, WWE has it on sale. Nobody's bitch. Nobody's bitch. $27.99. It's pretty funny because WWE, I don't know if a lot of you are aware of this, but WWE, when they put out some shirts that they are a little bit more concerned may not sell all that well, they will put it as the shirts will be printed on demand. Now, they have done it with other shirts that have been fairly successful, but a lot of shirts on WWE Shop, you go on there, you select the size, you pay it, it gets shipped out the next day. That shirt, I think WWE is wondering who's going to pay $28 plus tax and shipping for a shirt that simply says, nobody's bitch. Nobody's bitch. No, it's not the return of the Attitude Era, Roger Ruby. Oh, my God, they said bitch. Attitude Era. I'll never forget when Alexa Bliss, you remember that one? Alexa Bliss was in the locker room. I know I've brought it up before, and the cameraman opened the door, and she turned around like this, and she had her hands over her tits because obviously she was starting, oh, ooh. And people online, you see, they're teasing Attitude. Attitude Era is not coming back unless society reflects it. That's what a lot of people don't understand with some of the wrestling that they see. You know, wrestling obviously has a little bit to do with society. If you look, the controversy overseas. I read something that Charlotte may have liked a tweet that supported Israel, or, you know, Sami Zayn, you know, taking his views on it. And, you know, like people are all in all this controversy, like, oh my God, is this person going to be censored or reprimanded for taking a side, this and that? You know, it's, you had reports today. You know what's weird about it? They didn't seem to name the reports, but some Jewish organizations complained to WWE about the Sami Zayn stuff and other things. Funny how these places couldn't name these organizations. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm on the side of peace. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, and I know that sounds pretty PC, but I'm on the side of peace, man. I mean, how many decades and decades and decades and decades are you going to fight and fight and fight? It just leads to just tragedy. So, you know, as far as which side is right and which side is wrong, end this shit. And unfortunately, that simple words are not going to do it. Simple words are not going to do it. Anyway, so if you want to pick up that Jimmy Uso shirt, it is available on WWE Shop, and we'll see what happens. I was telling you earlier about WWE teasing the King of the Ring. Yeah, you saw this today. You saw that today. Shinsuke Nakamura, he picks up the Baron Corbin crown from the floor and is overacting. Was he Michael J. Fox? I'm Thor! I'm Thor! Yeah, I don't think your win-loss streak is going to change anytime soon. since January. Since January, we have been saying, uh-oh, the smoke and mirrors of Nakamura simply because of the Royal Rumble. You know what? I don't think Nakamura should be buying that shirt. So we'll see what happens, everyone. We'll see what happens. Oh, one full podcast. Go have a hot chocolate somewhere else. All right. Yeah, the Michael J. Fox joke was in bad taste. Yeah. All right. And you see all the shit that's written on social media and, you know, nobody says a word about it. Fuck off. And I say that with love. Oh, I do have to bring this up. It has nothing to do with one fall, though. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday. Christopher Daniels. All these people online. Is that a blade? Next to his head, it looked like a crumbled piece of foil, a bubblegum wrapper. Remember I said that wrestling, you could watch it in 4K high demand. AEW, you could watch in high demand. But for some reason, nobody could post a high definition shot of whatever that was on the floor with Christopher Daniels. And look, I like some of the people who have a habit of bringing out all the negative in wrestling. But I could play on words as well. The cutest tweet of them all the other day was, I see the blade, but I don't see the butcher. You get it? Blade as in, and they had the picture of Christopher Daniels with whatever that was on top of him. Well, guess what today, everybody? Guess what? Christopher Daniels posted a picture of the aftermath of what transpired. What did I do? I will tell you this. There's no way that Christopher Daniels is going to blade his eyebrow. Once again, people looking for tweet hand jobs were wrong. Christopher Daniels got busted open hard way. What do you have to say now? This guy, he's okay, Royal Soldier, he's okay. But Christopher Daniels has had an illustrious, what, 20-year career? Here in the Northeast, I was spoiled a little bit more with Christopher Daniels. You got to enjoy him also in Ring of Honor, TNA. Christopher Daniels is one of the best wrestlers in the last 20 years. Maybe I almost kind of put him in the same category as Cesaro. Maybe he didn't get more the notoriety that he should have gotten. But you would think after a legendary 20-year career, simply because he's working for a company with the letters AEW, that people run online to just embarrass, get the catchy tweet, the 100 likes, the retweets. Oh, I feel so important. And you were fucking wrong. You were wrong. That's why, like I say, you know, being right doesn't always mean being first. And as I always use the phrase, even though last night I forgot, misery loves company. Isn't it funny that the same bitter bitches are the same ones? And what's sad about it is you see the same, like, people loving it, retweeting it, and 9 times out of 10, they're wrong. You think any of them are going to apologize to this guy? Fucking sad, man. Really sad. What's not sad is this. Told you Tamina was going to cry. Told you it was going to be a very heartfelt moment. You know, what I absolutely love about this is, I don't know if I took the picture. Oh, please, did I take the picture with me? I might not have. Shit, I didn't. Go back to Payback, the pay-per-view Payback, when Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler were first women's tag team champions. And when Nia Jax came out, she was wearing a Tamina shirt. And the story that came out afterwards is that Nia Jax always wanted to win the tag team titles with Tamina. And not taking anything away from Shayna Baszler, it's not like Nia Jax regrets her whole championship reign with Shayna Baszler, but she always wanted to have a run with Tamina. Tonight, Tamina gets to win the tag team championships, and she faced Nia Jax. So maybe not the way it was supposed to originally go down in their minds and fantasy, but I tell you, Tamina has grown on me. I mean, I remember talking to Mish up until maybe 7-8 months ago, even a year ago. And I always said to Mish, I'm like, Mish, are you really a big fan of Tamina, or is this sarcasm? He's like, no, I'm really a big fan of Tamina's. Then last year, when they were hyping up Money in the Bank, you know, and you started to see more and more people talking about Tamina, talking about Tamina, talking about Tamina. It didn't lead to anywhere. And I brought it up on the WrestleMania recap, and I say it here again. I absolutely loved the reaction Tamina got at WrestleMania. Yes, fans there in the middle of COVID, not being able to go to wrestling shows for the most part, you pretty much are amped no matter who comes out there to wrestle. But I still believe Tamina would have gotten a very nice response even if fans were attending shows every week and COVID wasn't around. So WWE gives them the tag belts. Now, I tell you, you know, we were talking about it last week that, you know, they can't even make it for the pay-per-view. There's only 6 matches announced for this pay-per-view. You couldn't put in a 7th? I mean, it's not like we're doing a 60-minute Iron Man match in any of these matches. It's not like we're doing, like, some type of gauntlet with 15 people have to come out every 2 minutes. You couldn't put that on there? But a lot of people said last week, well, you could put it on the pre-show. I'll be honest with you. After seeing what we saw tonight, I'm happy that they won it on SmackDown and not on a pre-show. Because I could imagine all the social media posts. Wow, you know, Tamina can't even win a belt on a main show. She's got to do it on a pre-show. You know what I mean? I could imagine all that stuff. So you know what? You do it tonight. And guess what? She did it in front of more viewers that are going to watch WrestleMania Backlash, because you don't have a 3 million viewership. Can't say pay-per-view buy rate anymore, but still. Good. I'm very happy. Very happy for Tamina. I'm happy for Natty also, but this was a nice moment. And I'm not one of those that believes in everybody should get a title, but when you see over the years, you know, some people who are given championship reigns and repeated championship reigns, and for some reason, you know, other than the 24/7 championship, you know, like Tamina can't break through. I mean, what does that say about WWE's view of Tamina? She's not good enough to be a champion. I just hope she's not a transitional champion. I just hope we don't get a bullshit rematch at the, maybe they do get a rematch at the pay-per-view. Maybe they will announce a match this weekend with them involved. I just hope they keep these titles for at least a month or two. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, obviously, you see some of the other names that WWE's kept around the title picture. I will tell you this much. The Alexa Bliss storyline might have something to do with this, too. Some people are convinced that there was magic with Shayna Baszler losing on Raw Monday. And if Alexa Bliss, because remember, this is something that nobody, not one person has talked about. Bray Wyatt. Yesterday we had the conversation about what was going around. We're going to be respectful and not clickbait that or put attention until we know exactly what the deal is. But when I say Bray Wyatt, what if Bray Wyatt used to have in the Firefly Funhouse? Nobody's thought about this. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's just an idea. I like to think outside the box. What did Bray Wyatt have in the Firefly Funhouse? Behind him, he used to have pictures of all the people who did him wrong. He put X's in the eyes or crossed them off. Now, Alexa Bliss, in her career, hasn't had too many women slight her. But I'm wondering if, to get a little revenge for the past, maybe something with Nia Jax. Maybe this is mind games. I don't know. But I'm curious to see if we see a segment and we see Shayna Baszler with the cross over the eyes or Nia Jax. So they may have dropped these tag belts so they can individually may have something with Alexa Bliss or someone else. Don't know. Don't know. I know, Sam, some people are talking about the Bellas coming. You say it enough times, it could possibly end up being true. They've been saying that shit for how many years now? I mean, it's just, you know, that rumor comes out whenever they want to feel like they're still a part of wrestling. I'm not criticizing the Bellas in any way, but, you know, there's got to be more than just a video and teasing. Yeah, just like Karrion Kross is going to take on John Cena. Yeah, yeah, just like everybody else. Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. You know, they WWE knows the game. Just like Twitter or anybody else knows the game. You get a whole bunch of people talking about something, even if it's negative, or even if it's something that is impossible to happen, they will jump on it to basically feed into the frenzy. Plain and simple. So Shinsuke, as I said earlier, lost in his match with King Corbin. And then Shinsuke, after all of this time, somehow gets obsessed with the crown. After all of this time, oh, let's take, okay, congrats to Tamina and Natty. Okay. Now all of a sudden, he's obsessed with the crown. How long did King Corbin have the crown? He puts it on. So now we're wondering, are we going to do some type of King of the Ring deal? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Let's fill in the blanks, because I think tonight there was only four matches. So there's really not a plethora to talk about. It's, obviously, this was the go-home show to WrestleMania Backlash. And Jimmy Uso, they're still playing up to it, the Jimmy Uso, he's nobody's bitch. And obviously, they're going to keep that storyline going for a while, especially when a shirt goes on sale. If Jimmy Uso suddenly becomes Roman Reigns' bitch on Sunday and causes Cesaro the win and helps the tribal chief and Jimmy Uso holds up Roman Reigns' hand, what's the purpose of this shirt then? So believe it or not, I tell you, when you put shirts like that on sale, they're going to get some of them sold. And just when everybody gets their package in the mail, oh, look, I got my shirt. Nobody's bitch. And then Jimmy Uso may end up being Roman Reigns' bitch. No returns. Cannot return the shirt. Maybe you could cross out the nobody part of it. So, Roman Reigns cutting a promo on Cesaro at the beginning. He's had 39 title matches. Cesaro's had none. Roman Reigns, you know, I think sometimes WWE gets a little bit too honest with their promos. Roman Reigns saying that he doesn't even know if Fox wants Cesaro as heavyweight champion. You imagine that war room? I don't think the robot would be like, nothing against Cesaro. You know we all love Cesaro. We just feel like this is just smoke and mirrors. All right, let's pacify everybody who says that Cesaro never gets an opportunity for the championship. Let's just pacify everyone. Yeah, but Cesaro never gets a championship match, WrestleMania Backlash. Yeah, but he never gets a title opportunity. Well, he laid out Roman Reigns. All this is to pacify the people out there who are complaining about the usage of Cesaro. That's all it is. This storyline, this push, is the baby nipple. Everybody could be pacified for a little while. I mean, we saw right through the Shinsuke Nakamura treatment early in the year. We saw right through that. Pretty wild when you remember in real time how this was all going down. Everybody online. Oh, you could credit Daniel Bryan for Nakamura's push. Let's look back on that. Daniel Bryan may deserve a kick to the head. Because Nakamura didn't get no push out of that. No push for you, sir. No push. So, you know, kind of being a little bit too realistic about Cesaro, because I don't think there's any chance whatsoever of Cesaro being heavyweight champion. You do not end the reign of the Tribal Chief on Fox for the King of Swing, Cesaro. Especially when you can't even like pump up the soundboard. Even the soundboard doesn't want to go along with it. I mean, the soundboard is really, really hot. Roman Reigns comes out, those two clips. You suck. You suck. You suck. Yeah. Loud. Loud. Bianca Belair. She's in the microphone. Yeah. Acknowledging the digital LED boards. If they could actually talk. But with Cesaro, Cesaro's beating up Jey Uso. He super kicks Jimmy Uso. He lays out Roman Reigns. And all you hear is white noise in the background. Pretty hard. Pretty hard to get suspension of disbelief of Cesaro having any shot whatsoever when the people in the back don't even want to overvibe it. Ted DiBiase gets a bigger soundboard pop than Cesaro. I mean, what are we supposed to think as fans? What are we supposed to think? So, Jimmy Uso's nobody's bitch. Jimmy Uso talking about tag titles. And, you know, if they win the tag titles, they could be the tribal chief. And he's going to prove that he could beat Cesaro later tonight. Okay, fine. So we get the opening match. We get the opening match, Tamina and Natty beating Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax to become the women's tag team championships. I absolutely love the fact that Tamina was able to hit the Superfly Splash to get the win. I mean, everything that pretty much went down is what you and I talked about. Going back to WrestleMania, we thought there was a chance. Very happy for the two of them. Let's see what transpires now with Nia and Shayna. I'm wondering on Raw if they start blaming each other, and then if the Alexa Bliss hocus pocus bullshit comes into play. That might be the diversion. That might be the quick diversion to turn it into a different storyline. So we'll see what happens. Before I go any further, shout out to Mr. Cruiserweight. He says, this is Tommy. I don't know what you mean. This is Tommy. Is that your name, Crazy Cruiserweight? Is it Tommy? So if it is, what's up, Tommy? What's up, Tommy? Oh, wait. Oh, this is Roger earlier talking about, yeah, what we were talking about earlier. Yeah, it's all right, man. I could take jokes, you know. You don't have to super chat it just to clarify yourself. But I would never refuse it. And Cruiserweight, if his name is Tommy, much love, Tommy. Much love, Roger. Much love, everybody. Kayla Braxton interviewing Paul Heyman in the back. Paul Heyman a little bit startled by Kayla Braxton, which was pretty funny. Paul Heyman, he doesn't know if Jimmy Uso is going to be able to beat Cesaro tonight, but Roman Reigns will. Why did he say, this is Tommy? Wait, this is Tommy. Oh, no, no. You're talking about the gangster from my cell phone that died? Hey, this is Tommy. He might be talking about that. Why, I have no idea, but he might be talking about that, the gangster. It's weird. I have voicemail messages from three customers who are now dead, two of them because of COVID. I just never deleted their voicemail, and then they died, and I look at my phone. I'm like, okay, this is creepy. This is creepy. Shout out to Neil Ray, my friend. Shout out to Neil Ray. So you didn't watch most of SmackDown today. How would I rate it? How is my dad and my mom and my future wife? Do I think Cesaro has a chance to win versus Roman? Want to shout out everybody in the chat. And by the way, I will go back to what you were saying, but by the way, when we play the New Jack stuff later, I will have the chat room going. So if anybody out there wants to type a little rest in peace to New Jack, it will be on the screen. So that will be there later. But he's making it rain, man. I have no umbrella, so I'll stand there like the actor from Shawshank Redemption. What was the actor's name? He's just like standing there with the rain going on his head. Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't know why I binge-watched that movie. I mean, I don't watch it over and over again in loop, but it's one of the very few movies that when I just feel like throwing a movie in, Shawshank Redemption. Love that movie. I don't know if any of you out there have never seen that movie, and you could get into like a little bit of a drama movie with a lot of intelligence as well. That's a pretty damn good movie, man. Shawshank Redemption. Awesome movie. Tim Robbins. Yes, Timothy Robbins. Love that movie, man. Now, to answer your questions, I thought SmackDown today is a go-home show. It was okay. You know, it didn't feel like, because again, I think everybody out there believes, I mean, you just look at the overall scenario. WWE, the rumor is they're going to go back to live fans mid-July. I don't know if anybody stopped to think about it, but that's 2 months from now. I mean, it's still a long ways away. 2 months, we'll get here in no time. But as we talked about yesterday with the CDC now lifting pretty much the mask mandate for everybody who's vaccinated, you know, that's a big deal. That is a big deal because now you got to wonder if WWE is going to let people in the Capitol Wrestling Center without masks. Because Florida doesn't have any mask mandate anymore. And now science is saying if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Problem is, I think, with a wrestling event, a baseball event, any type of sports event with large crowds, is how do you differentiate who's vaccinated and who's not? I mean, the only way I could see it is, you know what? You're vaccinated, you could stand on the camera side of NXT. You're not vaccinated, you stand on the other side. I think that's the easiest way to do it. And it'd be funny to have one side with no mask and the other side. If I had no mask on and I saw the other people on the other, especially if it's some of my friends who are not vaccinated or they can't show proof of it, I'd be laughing at them on the other side like, ah, look at you. And I still think my idea is phenomenal. AEW and WWE should offer vaccinations at their location. Get, obviously, doctors, and you get everything done through CDC, and you do an incentive. You get vaccinated, you get a free ticket. Maybe you get an autographed photo of someone. Maybe you get a shirt. This stuff is tax deductible. WWE gives out stuff like that. They can write it off on their taxes for the end of the year. So that's how you can, and I could picture the press releases. We'll see what happens. I mean, it might be a little bit more difficult for AEW because they are going to be going out of state soon. But, you know, it's just an idea I put out there. I think that is an excellent idea. But, you know, we got to see what happens. But getting back to Cesaro, Roman Reigns, I mean, I really like Cesaro. And I know a lot of you out there think Cesaro is one of the most reliable, consistent stars that company has. You know, it almost reminds me of, I don't want to say AJ Styles and TNA, because AJ Styles was a heavyweight champion and got pushed to the moon. But AJ Styles, you know, when he first came to WWE, we really didn't know how well he was going to fit in. But he consistently has been reliable, consistent, always there. Kevin Owens might be another great example of that. Kevin Owens may actually be a little bit higher on the food chain than Cesaro. But this man is proven time and time again. I mean, he's one of the top performers there, consistent, doesn't get injured for the most part. I mean, the guy is reliable. But with your return to fans in 2 months and Roman Reigns being as big of a character that he is, you don't want Roman Reigns chasing for the championship right at, you want Roman Reigns to be still the peak at his heelness and have a big top baby face that people just get behind. Chase, that's why I still think Big E will be the one to feud with Roman Reigns once we get live fans back. I really believe that's the way to go. So Cesaro is very good. Against Roman Reigns, I don't see any shot whatsoever. If it would have been Raw with Drew McIntyre or somebody else he's facing, I could say, okay, maybe there's a possibility. Roman Reigns, I mean, just think of it logically. Why would you go from Roman Reigns to Cesaro? Give me one logical reason. And it's really hard to come up with one. My mom and my dad are okay. You know, my dad, you know, obviously is still, you know, battling the aftermath of the heart surgery. My mom has got her health issues as well, but, you know, they're trying to put it all together. They're going away to Florida in a month. I mean, just literally dropping everything and going to Florida and just try to relax. This is almost them forcing themselves to have a little vacation and relax. So I'll be bird watching once again, bird sitting. But, you know, they're as good as they could possibly be, you know, under the circumstances. My fiance's fine. She's doing okay. Today I went to my doctor, my urologist, and I got to go see him again the 27th in 2 weeks. Going to have some tests done to determine what's going on. We'll leave it at that. But, you know, I'll say this as far as SmackDown today, the problem. Nani and Tamina winning was nice. Don't get me wrong. Something that we talked about repeatedly for quite some time now. So it's that was a good deal. The problem is it doesn't feel like energy with Cesaro, you know, beating Roman Reigns after. It's like there was more focus on Jimmy Uso not being Roman Reigns' bitch than anything else. My God, the more they have Cesaro laying everybody out, the less of a chance Cesaro is going to do any of that on the pay-per-view. And Rey Mysterio, like I said, there was only four matches tonight, everyone. So SmackDown Recap doesn't have to be extremely extensive. But before I get to Rey Mysterio, you know, we had Jimmy Uso take on Cesaro. First match in 14 months for Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso looked great, and the match was fine. But we get the Roman Reigns interference at the end, the cause, I'm assuming, the disqualification. And Jimmy Uso is audible, yelling at Roman Reigns, I had this, bro. I had this. Us, I had this. And Roman Reigns, vocal. Nobody wants it. Nobody cares about this match. Nobody cares about you beating Cesaro. And Jimmy Uso is like, it's all about you. It's all about you. Yeah, Jimmy, when you and your brother were hugging or holding hands in Hell in a Cell, it was all about Roman Reigns then. This is old, old storyline. It's not his fault, obviously. But what was Jimmy Uso watching for the last year, every day? What was he watching? Tennis? I mean, you know, I don't mind his storyline. I mean, I think the Usos are going to get tag titles again very, very soon. I could picture all of them possessing gold at the same time. But, you know, to do this storyline as if Jimmy Uso hasn't watched what Jey Uso has been doing, you know, for Roman Reigns the last 9 months, it's a little too, you know, too much disbelief to suspend. So going into this pay-per-view, I don't feel any more excited about Cesaro winning this championship. I know it'll be a phenomenal match. I just don't want to see Cesaro screwed, because it almost feels like that's the way they're going to go. You know, and maybe that super kick at the very end to Jimmy Uso might be the reason why Jimmy Uso gets a little revenge on Cesaro on Sunday. We will see what happens. As far as Rey Mysterio goes, because this is, what, the third match of the four we're talking about tonight? Rey Mysterio took on Dolph Ziggler. And, in fact, we already talked about Corbin and Shinsuke. I mean, there really wasn't much of that match there, too. I mean, we had the fruit roll-up with King Corbin and Shinsuke. I think, didn't Shinsuke have like an armbar on King Corbin? And he just decides, let me roll him up. And Nakamura looked like a fish out of water. He's like, and he gets pinned. Then he steals the crown. We already did that. I pissed off one fall podcast earlier. So we'll see if that leads to King of the Ring. But Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler today has me thinking twice now about the tag title Sunday. Because last week, you know, we had a little bit of an upset, you know, and really pushing the first ever father-son tag team champions in WWE. Usually, the heels go over a little bit right before the pay-per-view, and then the babyfaces steal it. Here, we're going into WrestleMania Backlash. Rey Mysterio and Dominic, baby Dom, they seem to have all the momentum here. And to have Rey Mysterio defeat Dolph Ziggler, if you just follow WWE over the years, that goes against the grain. To have Rey and Dominic have this much momentum going into this pay-per-view, now I'm starting to think, I don't know, man. I don't know if they're actually going to win these tag titles on Sunday. You know, and then afterwards, Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler with Ray and Dominik in the back. They call him Baby Dom. And Dominik's comeback is, after Sunday, I'll be baby champ. I don't know. I like the idea of Dominik and Ray becoming the first father-son tag team champions. And I believe it's going to happen. Hell, when we do predictions in a few minutes, maybe I'll end up going with that decision. But right now, after today, with Rey Mysterio beating Dolph Ziggler, you know, with the small package, which is kind of a variation of the fruit roll-up, you know, I'm thinking to myself, huh, I'm starting to, like, have a little bit of a, you know, feeling like I just can't picture Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, you know, losing again Sunday. So, you know, so leading into WrestleMania Backlash, I don't know how much, you know, I don't feel any more excited about Sunday. I mean, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I think Sunday's pay-per-view is going to be very good, but I don't think I'm left with any more excitement. I know I wasn't left with more excitement with Monday, you know, with that shit with Braun at the very end, hugging Bobby Lashley. I mean, I was just like the goofiest of the goof. And then today going off the air, I mean, my God, why no energy? There's got to be a button on their soundboard that says energy. Make it sound like the fan. I mean, I don't know. I just don't feel any more. Put it this way, after watching SmackDown tonight, if I wasn't interested in Sunday's pay-per-view, I probably still would not be interested. And Neil, with a little shout-out message to all of you out there, he battles depression, as I know a lot of you do, and I do from time to time as well. And he just wanted to tell the chat room, please be mindful of your mental health. Get help, get a therapist. I will add a little bit to what Neil is saying. Talk to a friend. You know, social media, I know I always talk about the toxicity of it, but there are a lot of very great, good people, great people on social media. You know, your interactions and your likes may not be on the level of the bitchers out there, the bitchy, grumpy cats, but you get a core group of people that you could look at a Discord channel. I really don't mingle on Discord all that much after some of the shit that some of them were doing, you know, with my YouTube stuff. You know, that just rubbed me the wrong way watching people do that in real time. But one thing you got to give credit for our Discord channel is you have a group of about 20 people there. And I'm saying a sincere compliment right now. You have a group of about 20 people there that really have taken over that channel. Every conversation is the same 20 people over and over and over and over and over again. And that's a cool thing because there's a group of people there that love talking to each other and love hanging out, and they talk about everything in their mother. It's not always about wrestling. So, you know, believe me when I tell you, sometimes just getting things off your chest, it feels a lot better. You know, that's why I legitimately, if you remember that 1 hour rant that I did on Twitter about a month or two ago, where I just did a live stream, you know, at the parents' house, you know, we all know that there's a bunch of catfish out there on social media and a bunch of people who are just created a life of themselves that only people know through tweets and, you know, blogs and podcasts or whatever, but they truly don't know about these people. And there's a few people that sooner or later are going to be exposed. And I truthfully, and that's why I don't take part in that. I truthfully believe that somebody gets exposed, you know, that could be absolutely devastating to someone. And that's why, you know, I almost have sympathy for some people on social media, because I say to myself, wow, the fact that somebody can't even reveal their face, I mean, that's insecurity, obviously. And when you have that much fear and insecurity as far as being made fun of, no matter how you look, it doesn't matter. I mean, everybody tuning in here, everybody, they got 1,000 different shapes and sizes and sexual orientations and race. And you know, everybody's different. The Donzel Army, all of you tuning in, everybody is different. there's some people out there that are either narcissist and they have to have everybody believe that they're the almighty, or there's people out there that are so fragile to the point that they can't even show you their face. And I really feel bad for people like that, because sooner or later, if somebody gets exposed, what if that puts somebody over the edge? That's why I don't get involved with stuff like that, because it might be fun to out frauds, because there are quite a few of them out there, but at what expense? Watching someone OD on drugs or put a bullet in their head because they couldn't handle being outed and exposed? It's not, that's why I say, you know, there's a lot of you out there that deal with depression. I have, you know, my moments here and there. I'm not going to say I'm clinically depressed. I'm not. I definitely feel a lot better than I did a long time ago. But, you know, just having friends sometimes, you know, makes all the difference. And that's why I hate when I see, like, little feuds going on even over here. Because I get so many of you that say that, you know, this is your escape to just hang out. Just talking about wrestling, and not everything is good news. Look at what happened with New Jack, and I'll play that clip in a minute for all of you. But this is your escape from all the bullshit. And, you know, to want to just chat about however you feel, even if you're the biggest AEW fan out there, and then you got to feel reluctant to say something because you think somebody's going to make fun of you or put you down or criticize you. No, that doesn't go over here. That doesn't jive. Jay Carlos, much love as well to you, my friend. Don't super chat this. Let me know in the chat room, yes or no. Did you get my package? That's what I need to know. He didn't watch SmackDown at all. And he just came to hang out, check out the show, pay a little respects to New Jack, who passed away abruptly today. I wouldn't say abruptly. Someone, you know, we know he died because of a heart attack. But someone on my social media said it perfectly. New Jack died. Cause of death? New Jack. And that's so true. What did he say at the end of The Dark Side of the Ring? That the end of his movie, he should be just doing lines? Toxicology report comes out? I wouldn't be surprised if there's some substances in his system. New Jack went out the way he came into this world. Unique, on his own, does whatever the fuck he wants, man. You know, you deal with him for 25 years like I did, not every day, but you get a good idea of who a person is. And it was weird, man. It was weird to see all of this crazy shit with mass transit and some other things. And as you will hear, laughing, you know, even Mass Maniac could push his buttons. I mean, I'll never forget Chris Cash. Yeah, Anthony Diaz just said it. Chris Cash. You know, for those of you that don't know the story, the Minority Report days, when I started podcasting online in 2004, started podcasting online in 2004, the original idea was my hotlines that I was doing, I was putting them on the net. The XPW stuff, I was doing hotlines, put on the net. So Chris Cash was a guy who did podcast also, did a lot of interviews with like Eric Bischoff and Steve Austin and others back in the day. He created a website, and I'll give him credit for this. He created a website called fantalklive.com. And what he did was he charged a certain amount of money per month, and he had a schedule that you had to follow his schedule, and he would put you on the air, and you could do the podcast online. He would host it. He would stream it. And I think it was only limited to 100 listeners. So that's how we started online with the podcasting. So, you know, he got a little bit big about himself. I mean, he would brag in his school that he had Steve Austin's number on his speed dial and this and that. And, you know, Chris Cash, I think deep down inside was a pretty good guy, but he was just, you know, full of himself. So he was going to do a show with New Jack. New Jack was going to be a guest on his show. And before they went live, Chris Cash said to him, he's like, look, let's have a little fun. Let's do a little storyline. I'm going to call you the N-word on the show. Chris Cash is as white as could be. Chris Cash is whiter than this. He says, I'm going to call you the N-word on the show and just go along with it. New Jack cursed him out, threatened to kill him. And New Jack went on our show the following week to tell everybody the story and basically said, this motherfucker, this is Sinat. So somebody, I think it might have been Tommy Dreamer that said it today. If you were New Jack's friend, you had nothing to worry about. But if you rub New Jack the wrong way, especially if you were in the ring, somehow the vacuum cleaner shot to the nuts would connect. The New Jack would get a little bit sloppy in the ring. So, I don't know why he would even do that. But Jay Carlo says that, rest in peace, New Jack. It was so sad. He was a huge fan of his hardcore style. And thank you for the kind words, Carlos. I went, like I said earlier, to the urologist today. I go back in 2 weeks. They're going to run a bunch more tests. I did have a finger in my ass earlier. And I don't mind being a little funny, gross on here. Any of you out there, you have a job interview, a first date, something, you got to see the IRS. What happens? You get nervous, you break out. Any of that ever happened to you? You get nervous, you break out. Oh my God, it's it, this and that. I mean, we've seen commercials over the years for Clearasil. A girl's about to have a prom date, and she's so nervous, she breaks out in zits. I'm not going to lie to you. I think I was so nervous about going to the urologist, my ass broke out in zits. I got two pimples on my ass. I'm sitting on it right now. It is not fun. I'm not kidding. When I went to the doctor today, I tried everything possible. I rubbed Clearasil on my butt yesterday, hoping that it would disappear by today. When I went in there and I pulled my pants down, I could feel, you know, the pain. And I said, doctor, I said, I don't know what it was. I said, I think I just got nervous and my ass broke out instead of my face. I'm not going to show you pictures, but believe me, I'm not lying. So much love to you, my friend. Much love. Let me wrap up a couple of comments on SmackDown. Then we'll talk a little bit about New Jack a little more, and we'll get into ratings, predictions. So we got a bunch of stuff to get into still. So King Corbin beats Nakamura. We talked about it. Ray beat Dolph Ziggler. Natty and Tamina tag team champions. And Jimmy Uso loses to Cesaro. Roman Reigns gets involved against Jimmy Uso's wishes. We had a segment with Bianca Belair and Bayley, and I'm sick and tired of this laughing stuff. This over-the-top laughing stuff. I mean, I'm a fan of Sasha Banks now, obviously, but you remember early on when she started to do that laugh? Remember? I can't do it. But when she did it that first week, and she did it like three times, we're like, all right, we talked about it on the show, like, why is she doing this laugh? Now it's a regular thing. What's with all these with the women and the laughing? I mean, it's not funny. The more they laugh, the more I'm like, shut up. But I think Bianca Belair and Bayley is going to steal the show on Sunday. I think they are going to tear it up. And, you know, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's nice to see Bayley back in the ring. She had a much deserved break, even though I know she wanted to do more at WrestleMania. I'm not kidding, man. I wish I could show you a picture. I have two on my butt right now. I'm trying not to think about them. Darren finds it hilarious right now. He's laughing so hard. I don't know if you're pissing me off with the laughing, but I think the laughing is a little too much out of control. Because when you dig a little bit deeper, you know, Bayley is, you know, she wants the women's championship. I mean, the whole focus is out laughing each other. I mean, that's almost as bad as, you know, you led him on. Remember Bianca and Sasha? Reggie, you led him on. No, I didn't. It's not it's Come on. These women, WWE has the best women's roster between WWE and NXT, the best women's roster they have had in their history. And the best you could do is a Cirque du Soleil guy doing flips, two women arguing over a guy that neither one is even, quote-unquote, having a relationship with on camera, off camera. And then you have a historic WrestleMania moment, which was magical, and they backed it up. And you follow with a battle of the laughs. It's not funny. The Battle of the Laughs. They could do a lot better than this. Can I do the Riddle Dance, VJ? Maybe Monday. I have to watch it, like, first. I was going to do the Sami Zayn dance. I have the Sami Zayn, the shirt that he put on sale for charity with all his dance moves. I was going to go up here and do the whole Sami Zayn dance thing. But with the turmoil in the Middle East, what's going on with Israel, it's like I would be the ultimate jerk come up here and start doing Sami Zayn dance moves. In it. When things get a little bit better, you know, then there's a time and place for everything. So let me see what else about. Oh, Apollo Crews. He's going to give the Nigerian Medal of Honor to General Aziz for what he has done for Apollo Crews. Gets interrupted. We got Big E gets involved. Kevin Owens gets involved. Sami Zayn gets involved. So, no, not at the pay-per-view. Next Friday on SmackDown, fatal four-way for Apollo Crews' title. I'm fine with it taking place next week. I think we kind of know what the outcome is going to be in that match. And interesting to see Sonya Deville on the show. I mean, I know there's some news that her stalker was, you know, held incompetent to stand trial. I know wrestling fans hate that result. They're all suddenly psychologists. They're like, how could he be incompetent? He knew exactly what he was doing. Trust me, I don't trust wrestling fans trying to act like psychologists. These were medical experts that evaluated this guy. And this guy, you know, you want to do what he wanted to do to Sonya. And my God, what he would have done also to Mandy once he realized she was there. You got to have a couple of screws loose as it is. But, you know, you have medical experts say that this guy is, his brain is fried. He's going into a mental hospital. You know, it is what it is. You know, that's not the outcome I think a lot of people wanted. But, you know, mental illness is a legit thing, you know. But I was a little surprised. Adam Pearce suddenly on the same page with Sonya Deville. What was that? I mean, for the last 2 weeks, why isn't Adam Page, like, annoyed at Sonya Deville for some of the decisions she made the last 2 weeks? I mean, just, I don't know. I just felt like, feels like a storyline that's been put on hold. All right, we got the pay-per-view Sunday. After the pay-per-view, then we'll continue that storyline. Something tells me it'll pick up right where it left off on Monday's Raw. So that's pretty much it. You know, other than the backstage interview with Cesaro, I dreamed as a kid being a champion. I think I can. I know I can. You won't. Just being honest. So that was SmackDown. Not a bad show, but just doesn't have me very excited. I'm no more excited before SmackDown than I am after as far as Sunday goes. Did I say Adam Page? Adam Pearce. Adam Page. You know why? Because I got the AEW ratings on my mind. So, by the way, thank you everybody for the kind words and the feedback about the lighting from yesterday. I know I'm kind of like glowing in the dark. I have to adjust the purple a little bit in the background, but a lot of people like the little purple vibe. So I'm going to build on that. I'm going to get some better quality lighting and, you know, build on that purple look. I like it. I don't think there's any other podcasts out there doing the purple thing, so I don't want to rip anybody off. So, all right, let's talk about predictions. By the way, Impact Wrestling, okay, no rating came out today. For those that don't know, Show Buzz Daily, which is the site that everybody gets their ratings from, they because I deal with WordPress also, so I know exactly what happened to them. Somebody updated either some of the plugins on Showbuzz Daily's website, or they updated the whole framework and did not disable their antivirus, did not do a backup. Something was not done properly. And as a result, when you go on Showbuzz Daily's website, you hit enter, it says, "Welcome to WordPress." And it looks like somebody who just bought a website. So Showbuzz Daily is probably going to be down until Monday, maybe sooner, but that's why the Impact Wrestling ratings have not come out yet. I know we're all very, very curious to see what they do after having 2 weeks ago $1.30 and last week $1.32 or $1.33, which is unacceptable. And in 2 days, they're doing Under Siege. I mean, Impact Wrestling, I think, is really watering themselves thin, man. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect them, because I am a fan of Impact Wrestling now, believe it or not. I want to see them do better. I think the AEW interaction has hurt them significantly. But Impact Wrestling, every time you look or blink your eye, there's a pay-per-view coming up. And again, if their pay-per-view numbers were so strong, they would reveal the numbers. They don't reveal the numbers. They said, oh, we did people, they don't even say it. Other people say, oh, they did 8 times their buy rate. I didn't see Impact Wrestling saying that. Where's the press release? Where's the press release? You have really good things happen to yourself. You announce it to the world because they see the positive stuff. Hey, you know, I haven't checked them out in a while. Maybe why? But, you know, when other people are saying it, and some of them, a lot of you don't trust them, it doesn't say much. But what Impact Wrestling is coming across right now, and this card looks halfway decent, but they're having, I think, too many pay-per-views right now. And what it comes across is like somebody, you know, like if we could, even if we get 10 pay-per-view buys, 10 buys is better than nothing. That's what it feels like. I mean, they're just throwing these out there, and the pay-per-view buy rate numbers are not all that great. You know, if you only get 1,000 buys or 700 buys, and then you jump up to 5,000 because Kenny Omega was on it, Omar Rinaldo and others, you know, it's still 5,000 buys. That's a pathetic number. A little bit, 8 times as much. 8 times 0 is still 0. So anyway, let me just read you their call. I'm not doing predictions, so... Susan and Kimberly versus Tennille Dashwood and Taylor Wilde. Brian Myers versus Black Taurus. Willie Mack versus W. Morrissey. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Eddie Edwards and Finn Juice. For the Impact Tag Team Titles number one contenders match, TJP and Petey Williams versus Rohit Raju and Shira versus Triple XL versus Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. For the Knockouts title, Deonna Purrazzo versus Havoc. For the X Division title, Josh Alexander versus El Fantasmo. For the Knockout Tag titles, Jordan Grace and Rachel Ellering versus Fire and Flava. And for the number one contenders match for the Impact Heavyweight title, Matt Cardona versus Chris Bay versus Chris Sabian versus Sammy Callahan versus Moose versus Trey Miguel. Okay. All right. It's not a bad card. But this, it just feels like they're really spreading themselves thin. So, by the way, they announced Slammiversary will be July 17th, and that card is going to be stacked. You might actually see a little bit more AEW on that card than you think. We'll wait and see what happens. So, shout out to Sabina. We could all see your finger. Get that finger out of your ear. You don't know where it's been. Anyway, let's do WrestleMania Backlash predictions. Only 6 matches on the show. They could very well add a pre-show match. Who knows? We may see something, a rematch for the Women's Tag Championships. So even if they do a Women's Tag Team Championship rematch, with Tamina and Natty, they still are going to keep those belts. I don't know if it's going to happen, but Damian Priest versus The Miz. Lumberjack match. I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, Damian Priest with the win. 1-2, you know, no doubt about it, especially coming off of WrestleMania with Bad Bunny. Now, something I said earlier, you know, about the show, and I want to bring this up too. Did I take the picture of him? Let me see. I want to see if I took the picture. I might not have screenshot it. There was so much going on tonight with the New Jack stuff and everything else. I didn't. They did another Aleister Black segment today. This time they had some animation, and basically he's reading a chapter in a book called The Lesson, and he could teach us the lesson, but he's not, because he's supposed to be a dick. There's some rumblings that Aleister Black might be moved to Raw, because after Damian Priest and The Miz, they don't have too much for Damian Priest. I think this is just fans that would prefer Aleister Black on Raw. There is nothing that I'm aware of that is alluding to Aleister Black going back to Raw. If they air the same segment that we saw today with him reading the book, if they show that on Raw, then I'll start thinking otherwise. But I think this is just fans throwing shit on the wall. And, hey, maybe WWE reads somebody's idea and goes with it. Then they could say, see, we reported it right. There is nothing out there that alludes to Aleister Black coming to Raw. Mr. Mike, I don't know why you would think they would pair Zelina and Aleister Black. Why? Because they're a real-life couple? There's nothing about Zelina Vega. I don't see that. I don't see that. Look, I'm willing to give anything a chance. We talked about Zelina Vega yesterday, so I definitely recommend you check out what we talked about. I'm sure I'll have a combo with Mish on Monday about it, especially about the union stuff, because it's pretty wild after everything that went down. You know, we'll talk about it on Monday. We're almost half a year in, everyone. What is the Screen Actors Guild and Gabriella Carteras and Andrew Yang, what have they done for wrestling? All the stuff that they were bringing attention on all those podcasts, they did this. We told you from late last year that we're going to do nothing. They're going to do nothing. Zero. So Damian Priest, I believe, will beat The Miz, but I do not think Aleister Black will have anything to do with Damian Priest. Why? Because they all have tattoos, or they all like look like dark. What is that? Because he shoots an arrow? Why would you, it doesn't even make sense when you think about it. Why? Because one has fire in the graphic and the Aleister Black kind of lit. I don't think people think sometimes. The Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode defending the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against Rey and Dominic. I honestly thought up until tonight, Rey and Dominic are going to make history, become the first ever father-son team, and who knows, maybe the Usos take the tag titles off of Rey and Dominic. But I just feel like with the amount of momentum that Rey and Dominic have had going into this pay-per-view, I think not yet. It's just really odd to see Robert Roode and Dolph have no momentum going into the pay-per-view, and then we're supposed to think that they're going to get even worse and lose those tag titles. So I think Rey and Dominic, they will be tag team champions. I just don't know if it's going to happen on Sunday. Now, I think we all agree that you kind of think there should be at least one title change on Sunday. If there's going to be any title change whatsoever, this is the match where there's going to be a title change. But a lot of us thought that Dolph and Robert Roode were going to lose the tag titles at WrestleMania. Remember that? We were pretty surprised that, you know, they kept the belts. So, I don't know. Maybe Baby Champ or Baby Dom becomes Baby Champ. I don't know. Right now, boy, you know, I'm a little torn because Dolph Ziggler is such a professional. And Robert Roode is such a professional. Even if they lost the tag belts, they don't lose any cred. I'm going to go with Dolph and Robert Roode to retain. I say Rey and Dominic, yes, but not yet. Rhea Ripley versus Asuka versus Charlotte. Triple threat match for the women's championship. My honest opinion, the same thing as Bianca Belair. They just won the women's championships. You don't take the title off of them this fast. I know a lot of people are fearing Charlotte, another title reign. I think Bianca Belair obviously retains with Bayley in that match, but I also feel that Rhea Ripley will retain as well. For those that don't like to see Asuka being pinned repeatedly, you might have to get used to it. One more match at minimum, because I just don't see Charlotte getting pinned on Sunday. And yes, Rhea Ripley could lose the championship without being pinned. Charlotte could pin Asuka and become champion. Asuka could pin Charlotte and become champion. I think Rhea Ripley, her title stays with her for a little while. And I think Bianca Belair, her title stays with her for a little while. Sasha Banks obviously is going to have to make a return soon. Maybe she returns Sunday. Becky Lynch, we keep still hearing the rumors were there. Becky Lynch, I got news for you. If they're going to go back to live fans in July, I would save Becky Lynch for July. Bring her back. Whether it's announced in advance or as a surprise, you bring her back when you finally bring fans back on a regular basis. So that leaves two matches. Bobby Lashley versus Drew versus Braun, triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley will retain. I think Braun Strowman was added to this mix for a bullshit finish. The only finish that comes to mind for me is we may see Drew McIntyre claymore Braun Strowman, or Braun Strowman nails his finisher on Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley, who would have been laid out outside the ring for a little while, will immediately enter the ring, throw outside the ring whoever just landed their finisher, and Bobby Lashley will steal the victory. That's how I see it in my mind. I don't know if that will end up being the case, but Bobby Lashley will steal the victory right out of the hands of someone who is this close of winning the championship. Roman Reigns versus Cesaro for the Universal Championship. I see some of your ideas, Jimmy Uso helping Cesaro, you know, a little bit of a, you know, clusterfuck, backfire. I just do not see how you take the title off of Roman Reigns right now. He is the number one guy. If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. Cesaro, although an emotional, cool moment to see him win the championship, I don't think now is the right time. Keep the belt on Roman Reigns. Big advertising selling point, bringing back live fans. We will see live fans boo the shit out of Roman Reigns. That's when you pull out the major babyface gun to go after Roman Reigns. I don't think it's Jey Uso. Some of you think that Jey Uso will ultimately turn on Roman or vice versa and take on Roman again. Some think Jimmy. I think Big E. Still feel that way. I think putting Big E still mixed in with the Apollo Crews stuff is simply to buy time. You know, adding Kevin Owens to the mix and adding Sami Zayn to the mix allows them to intertwine these guys for a month or so. So I think Big E, they're just trying to get by some weeks where he's used, but not too much focus on Big E. Big E, if you notice, it doesn't feel like they're putting a lot of focus on him right now. So I say Roman Reigns retains. So as of right now, like I said, the only pay-per-view I could, the only match I could see a title change is the SmackDown tag titles. But right now, I'm just, I don't know. It just, Ray and Dom, maybe not yet. Maybe not yet. But you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to say give it to Ray and Dom. Because I'm just picturing the SmackDown scene. And we have had the same four teams battling each other for 2.5 months now. I don't know if you noticed that. Otis and Chad Gable. You know, the Street Profits, Dolph and Robert Roode, Ray and Dominic. Same. We need to turn that corner and start mixing it up a little bit. You put Dom and Ray as the tag team champions, you could have some variations. I don't know. I think the Usos have to team up again. And if the Usos end up getting those tag titles, who are they more likely to beat? Ray and Dominic or Dolph and Robert Roode? So I think maybe Ray and Dominic, they make history. They keep it for a short period of time. And Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, they ultimately team up and take those belts from Ray and Dom. So, by the way, what's going on with Seth Rollins all of a sudden? Does Seth Rollins interfere in the main event Sunday? Does Seth Rollins cause Cesaro the win? I didn't see anybody bring up Seth Rollins earlier. So we'll see what happens. Quarter hour ratings, AEW and NXT. In fact, if you all want to get up and stretch, get something to drink, take a leak, you know, I said I was going to play a little clip of New Jack. And, you know, this one was a little bit strange because I was checking out some episodes of the Mass Maniac show the other day. Because I had mentioned last week that I was going to start putting some up on Patreon. I was going to put some clips on YouTube. And I came across the episode we did with Axel Rotten and New Jack. And, you know, reminiscing about Axel Rotten a little bit. You know, he obviously has passed away as well. And he battled demons. Unfortunately, they overcame and took him. But, you know, like I said, my interaction with New Jack over the years has been, you know what? A few of you just gave me a great idea. We'll save New Jack for the end. Let's do the quarter hour ratings first. This way, we could talk a little bit about New Jack, because I know not everyone out there is a fan of New Jack's, and not everyone out there even were a wrestling fan during his time. So let's do the quarter hour ratings first. This way, if you want to disconnect after that, you can. So let's do the quarter hour ratings. So again, Impact Wrestling, we won't know the number until Monday. We'll see what it ends up. Let's do NXT first. I'm looking at these numbers. There was one quarter hour that had a nice spike, nice increase in numbers, and it's going to be a little surprising, the quarter hour, I tell you. One quarter hour that had the biggest drop, I don't think anybody will be surprised. There's a little hint. NXT, hour one, 6L. By the way, I know some of you yesterday got a kick out of it. You know, some people, but both ratings missed it by this much. I missed the NXT rating by 2,000. And AEW Wednesday, I said they would get 944. They got 936. So both this close. NXT, hour one, 682. Hour 2, 7-11, for a composite of 697,000 viewers. The opening quarter, Karrion Kross versus Austin Theory, and then the confrontation with Finn Balor and Karrion Kross afterwards, the challenge, that opening quarter only did 644,000 viewers. That is lame. Very lame. Quarter 2, just as lame. MSK versus Breezango, the non-title match, that quarter hour dropped 4,000 viewers to 640,000. Unopposed, lame. Quarter three, Pete Dunne with his interview, prove me wrong. And then Leon Ruff coming out, first confronting William Regal, wants a match. Then he attacks Pete Dunne and they have a match. That quarter hour had the biggest increase of the whole night. That quarter hour jumped 93,000 viewers to 733,000. Quarter four, Raquel Gonzalez versus Mercedes Martinez, the majority of that match. That quarter hour dropped 12,000 viewers to 711,000. Quarter five, which was the very end of their match, and then Isaiah Swerve Scott and Hit Row cutting that promo, that quarter hour increased 46,000 viewers to 757,000. In fact, as I'm looking at this, Hit Row got the biggest quarter hour the whole night. Believe that. They did. 757, the highest rating of the night. Quarter six, Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase fighting over a house auction, Zoe Stark's interview, and the very beginning of Kyle O'Reilly versus Oney Lorcan. Cameron Grimes is perfect so far. Every segment that he has done, non-wrestling, since becoming this millionaire gimmick, the ratings have gone down. The streak continues. That quarter hour dropped 62,000 viewers to 695,000. Thank you, Greg, for the kind words. Quarter seven, the majority of Oney Lorcan versus Kyle O'Reilly. The after-match beatdown with Pete Dunne and Bobby Fish making his return. That quarter hour dropped 25,000 viewers to 670,000. The main event, Kushida versus Santos Escobar, which really started at the very end of the previous quarter, but majority of the match was the final quarter and about a five-minute overrun because the whole thing lasted about 20 minutes. The main event, Kushida versus Santos Escobar, two out of three falls match, increased 50,000 viewers to 720,000. So, you know, you could see not impressive numbers at all. Next week, I think they'll ride a little momentum from this week. I personally think NXT's numbers will rebound next week. I think they got into a really bad groove those first 3 months, and still there's some names noticeably absent on TV that a lot of people are getting very frustrated about. So they're going to have to do something. Let's go to AEW. And AEW, I tell you, I don't understand why people are making such a big deal about the rating of 936,000 viewers. That's not a bad number. Remember what I talked about for about 6 months, that a lot of these people that are overhyping AEW, making excuses for everything, they're going to be the ones that are going to hurt AEW in the end because they overhyped ratings and other stuff so much that now when you get a rating like 936, they think the sky is falling. 936 unopposed is a very good number for AEW. These people don't know what they're talking about. They blame it on January 6th. They blame it on drafts. They blame it on presidential speeches. They blame it on everything. And every single time, because they all say the wrong thing, none of them are going to, they're not going to be zombies and go after each other. So none of them speak up and go against the grain. So everybody keeps their mouth quiet and they just go along with the program. And that's ridiculous. We prove it every week that all those excuses they make do not come into play. So anyway, AEW, Hour 1, 945,000 viewers. Hour 2, 928,000 viewers for a composite of 936,000. Opening quarter, Jon Moxley versus Yuji Nagata. That opening quarter did an impressive 944,000 viewers. The second quarter, which was Cody Rhodes' promo, hyping up his match against Anthony Ogogo, and then a little vignette, little video done for Christopher Daniels, that quarter hour dropped 5,000 viewers to 939. Not much of a difference. That's okay. Quarter three, the Young Bucks versus Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels, titles versus career, that quarter hour increased 33,000 viewers to 972,000. In fact, that quarter hour tied with one other quarter for the highest rating of the night. So the Young Bucks and Frankie Kazarian, their quarter hour shares the highest rating of the night, by the way. I'll get into the other quarter in a little bit. I think you can figure out which one it was. Quarter hour four, Christian Cage, Matt Sydal, little back and forth in the back with Dasha, and the very beginning of Pac versus Orange Cassidy. That quarter hour dropped 47,000 viewers to 925,000. If you thought, oh, maybe they started getting into Pac versus Orange Cassidy and the rating will improve, the next quarter hour, which was their match, the aftermath with Orange Cassidy in the corner, can't continue, Pac laid out by Kenny Omega in the announcement of the pay-per-view match, that quarter hour dropped 5,000 viewers to 920,000. Quarter number six, the segment with the Pinnacle, coronation, celebration, whatever you want to call it, and then the Inner Circle showing up with the water gun. That quarter hour increased 44,000 viewers to 964,000. Quarter seven. Ouch. Quarter seven. Britt Baker's interview with Jim Ross. Thunder Rosa versus Jasmine Allure. And that little video vignette of Darby Allin driving in the car, cutting his promo on Miro. That quarter hour dropped 109,000 viewers to 855,000. I don't know what was on for those last 15 minutes, but they turned away for a few minutes because they came right back for quarter eight. Darby Allin defending the TNT Championship against Miro. That quarter hour increased 117,000 viewers to 972,000. So that final quarter tied with Kazarian and Daniels versus the Young Bucks for the highest ratings of the night. So, yeah, Darby Allin is old enough to drive, Benjamin. He is not as young as you think he is. I mean, he's young. He's definitely young, obviously. But he ain't 16 or 19 or 20 years old. So, but anyway, that's it. That is your quarter hour ratings. So with that said, how long have we got? Wow. Hour and 26 minutes. I could dig that. We'll be done before an hour 40 tonight, which is great. Now, don't forget, I will be here. We're not done just yet, but I will be here Sunday night after WrestleMania Backlash to give you the recap. I will be ready at 5 minutes after it ends, so you can join me. We will talk about the pay-per-view. Got a couple of super chats I'd like to mention. Then we'll share a little New Jack memories. Crazy Cruiserweight. Oh, yeah. See? Yeah. That was the voicemail thing I was saying before. I think I played it once on Patreon. I got to bring my cell phone in here. Let you hear. Tell me, it sounds like Ultimate Gangsta. Hey, how you doing, Anthony? This is Tommy. Unfortunately, he is deceased, but he was a good guy. He was definitely a good guy. So, Chris Silver, do I think Mace and T-Bar will interfere in a triple threat match with Drew, Braun, and Bobby? You know, we talked about it on Monday. They disappeared all of a sudden. And I could see that happening, but I don't want to see it happen. Not that I don't want to see Mace and T-Bar on TV, but if they're going to go in a different direction and start having a tag team run, not championships right now, but having a tag team run, I think getting away from Braun and Drew is probably the most important thing they need to do. If you keep them around, where does this go? I mean, you're going to have Drew and Braun have a feud with Mace and T-Bar? Then who does Bobby Lashley go after? So, yes, I could see that happening on Sunday, but I don't think that's a very good idea. I think many of us are still confused why they got involved in the first place. Were they trying to join the Hurt Business? It felt almost as random as when King Corbin showed up for two shows. What was that all about? I don't think I want to see that, to be honest with you, Chris, but that's a very good idea. Anthony Diaz, I don't have the clip of Chris Cash having the confrontation with New Jack because that conversation went down before they did the show they were supposed to do. If you're talking about the clip of New Jack on our show talking about what went down with Chris Cash, I have that. I just haven't had to. Look, I found out literally a few minutes before 8 that he passed. I have hard drives with audio, as you heard some of it yesterday, that goes back 20-something years. So I have to go into those hard drives, pull the audio out, and scan through them. I mean, New Jack did quite a few podcasts with the Mass Maniac and myself. So I have to go through a lot of episodes to find it. I mean, I'll be able to find it pretty quickly because all I got to do is go back and look at the time frame when the incident went down. But yeah, I will definitely share some of those clips in the future. I might save them for Thursday because Thursday, since Thursday is a very unique show, anything goes for the most part. so many different topics discussed, Thursday night might be the perfect night to share some of these vintage memories and clips and everything like that. Because Monday is meant for Raw. Wednesdays is meant for NXT and AEW. And Fridays is meant for SmackDown and any pay-per-view stuff going on. So Charlie's saying, why did I bother keeping stuff, hotlines, collectibles? Why cease the hotlines? I don't know what you're trying to say. Why did I stop doing a hotline? Because it became obsolete. I mean, there's still people doing hotlines to this day, but I wanted to branch out. I wanted to do more. And, you know, that without getting into the whole thing, I started my wrestling hotline in 1997. In 2002, when I started doing, well, actually, if you go even further back, in 2000, I was pushing tickets for ECW, the original ECW, through my hotline. But in 2002, when I started doing work for XPW, I thought of the idea of taking my hotline reports that everybody would call a telephone number to hear. Why don't I put it on the internet so everybody could enjoy it? This way you don't have to call a telephone number, especially at that time, everybody paid long distance charges still. So my idea in 2002 was to put my hotline reports on the net. Then we didn't want to do 15-minute spurts. So in 2003 is when I first did my podcast. I don't even think they were called podcasts at that time. Might have been called webcasts. But I recorded and kept a lot of my stuff. I don't know why I recorded hotlines in 2000, but I still have some of them. So, yeah. I mean, I think people are pretty glad that I kept a lot of this stuff, right? Neil wants to send a shout out to Jay Carlos, Sam, Austin, Benjamin, Lion 2012, VJ, Darren, Michael, Chris, Soulfly, Bimore, Ken, Psycho 187, Harris, and everybody else tuning in. So much love. I am the messenger. Neil says hello to everyone out there. And VJ, I think you asked me before about the riddle dance. Am I just showing it again? I'll look at it. I'll do it Monday with Mish. I don't mind poking a little fun at yours truly. Looking at my finger that I burnt yesterday. That was such a stupid move on my part, man. Very stupid. So let's, for a couple of moments, just talk about New Jack a little bit. Obviously, you know the news by now. He passed away today at the age of 58. You know, just to give you the overall, and I'm sorry for those that know some of this already, I had a car accident in 1996, almost killed me. I met my ex-wife while I was still pretty much bedridden in a wheelchair. I was in a wheelchair for 9 months. I met my ex-wife by accident. How does this have to do with New Jack? I'll get to it. It's very quick. What happened was I was lonely. I was home, stuck in a wheelchair. You know, fucked from my car accident. I started calling ex-girlfriends up to see what they were doing. I mean, I don't know what I actually thought was going to come out of it. I still couldn't walk or anything. So I called an ex-girlfriend that lived in Long Island, and she wasn't home. Her sister was there. And I told the sister what happened and everything about my accident. We were talking about 5 minutes, and then her baby started crying. So she's like, I got to go. My baby's crying. Hey, talk to my friend for a minute. She puts the phone to someone else. I never talked to her before. I ended up marrying her. How crazy is that? So anyway, obviously the marriage failed. I got it annulled. So on record, you know, no marriage ever existed. But what happened was she was not a wrestling fan. And she realized how much I loved wrestling. I wanted to train to be a wrestler. The car accident totally destroyed that idea. And she started to see how much I loved ECW, even WWF at the time because of the Attitude Era. And I enjoyed WCW too. So what she did out of the kindness of her heart was she sent letters to ECW, WWF and WCW to tell them that her fiance had a, or boyfriend at the time, had a very serious car accident, almost killed him. And that, you know, if they could send an autograph or something that would cheer me up. She was going to do this as a surprise for my birthday. So she sent this letter to all three companies. I had no idea she sent this letter. About a month after she sent the letter, I'm in my office, and I still couldn't walk yet. I went to my office, and my phone rings. I don't remember if it was a Georgia area code, but it was an outside area code, and I picked up the phone, and I said, hello? And anybody that goes back with me to 1997, you know, we talked about this. In fact, I even talked about this with New Jack on the Mass Maniac show. So I even have proof of this. My phone rings. I'm in my office. I answer the phone. I said, hello? And all I hear is,
is Anthony?
I said, yes. Who's this?
It's New Jack.
I'm like, New Jack? And I'm saying to myself, oh, shit. It's New Jack, ECW.
And he's like, you're Anthony?
I said, yeah.
I thought you were a little kid. I thought you were a little kid.
I'm like, no, I'm not a little kid. I'm in my 20s. Then he's laughing. I'm laughing. And, you know, I told him about my car accident. I told him, you know, I wanted to train at the school that they were going to do with Taz and everything. And I said, you know, that I how did he? So he told me the story. I got the letter. Supposed to call you. I thought you were a little kid. So we had this funny story. And I thanked him after that. And I said, New Jack, this means the world to me. I said, one day I'm going to pay you back. I wasn't even doing a wrestling hotline yet. Just a fan. And I said to him, one day I'm going to pay you back. So I started doing my hotline, started to gain popularity. In 2000, ECW contacts me to sell tickets through my hotline. And in return, you know all the stories. I don't need to bring any of that stuff up. And in 2002, I started doing work for XPW. And one time, we needed guardrails for an XPW event. And Frank Goodman, the Mass Maniac, USA Pro Wrestling, had guardrails. So I didn't know the Mass Maniac at the time. And I was the middleman to get the guardrail thing done. And as a thank you to the Mass Maniac for letting us rent the guardrails, I brought lunch for all the wrestlers. And I got to meet him and hung out a little bit. And then we became friendly and I started doing some work for Frank. So he started getting the itch to want to do his own wrestling hotline. And because I was putting this stuff online, I said, hey, I'll record you. You know, we'll do the Mass Maniac show. I'll record it. I'll put it. We had a hotline at the time and we put it on the air as well. And New Jack was one of the people he started bringing on. So the first time he brought New Jack on, I said, you remember me? And he's like, I don't know who you are. So I said, I don't know if you remember, back in 1996, I had this bad car accident. Somebody in ECW told you, call this kid up, had a car accident, almost killed him, and just, you know, say hello. You're like, I don't remember what I did yesterday. But then he kind of like remembered, and I said, same person. I said, go figure. So we started doing the Mass Maniac show with New Jack. Then he got arrested. And there was a warrant out for his arrest. I don't know if it was Florida, but he got in jail. He didn't have the money to post bail. I think the bail was like $600 or something like that. So his girlfriend put up an eBay auction and wrote, New Jack's in jail. In fact, you probably could do a Wayback Machine search and just check New Jack eBay jail. I'm sure the article's going to come up. And the winning bidder was going to get a phone call from New Jack, and this is an ad, photo, blah, 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 blah. So me, having wrestling-news.com at the time, and I was still reporting news, I got word of the eBay auction, and I said, I finally get to pay him back. I bid and won the eBay auction, sent the money to his girlfriend at the time, and I said, tell New Jack that it's Anthony, you know, Frank Goodman hotline, you know, podcast. We're even. And I bailed him out of jail. Once I started having a little bit of a friendship with this guy. Then you had, like, without naming names, you had people online trying to stir shit up with myself and New Jack, saying that I called him the N-word and this and that. And it was not true. And this all started because of the Chris Cash stuff. So the auction was about $600. So that's how I became friendly with New Jack. So we did a lot of podcasts together. And the weirdest thing about it is, you know, I talked about it in 97. Now we're in 2003, 2004, 2005. And, you know, it's 8 years that go by. And going to wrestling events, because a lot of you probably don't even know the story that New Jack was supposed to be in the storyline with myself versus Low Life Louis Ramos. I wrote a script for a storyline called New Jack in the Box. Not Jack in the Box, but New Jack in the Box. Low Life Louis Ramos, he was expecting his son, him and his wife. They were expecting his son. And Low Life Louis Ramos was legitimately going to step away from hardcore wrestling for a little while. And he always said to me, Louis, he's like, why don't you do something on camera? He's like, you got all, you know, these people online that, you know, that like you, hate you, you know, you probably could do, let's have some fun. So we did a storyline together. And what the storyline was that I work in management for USA Pro Wrestling. And Louis wanted to retire because he was going to have a kid. Didn't want to do the hardcore stuff anymore, which was legit. And I was going to force him to continue to wrestle hardcore. If he wanted to still get money for working shows, he had to fight hardcore. So I kept putting Louis in situations where he was forced to do hardcore. So we did an event in Long Island, New York. And it was advertised that we were going to have a little baby shower in the ring for Louis. We didn't want to put his wife in there because his wife was not a wrestler and she was pregnant. So we were doing a baby shower for Louis. People brought gifts. They brought diapers. They brought clothes. They brought real gifts for Louis. And what the storyline was going to be is after he opened up all the gifts, there was going to be a card with a blank CD in it, you know, like unlabeled CD. And I have all this on film, by the way. And he opens the CD and there's no label on it. And he's showing the crowd. He's like, what is this? And he gives the CD to the DJ. And when he turned it on, it was supposed to be a nursery rhyme. Jack in the box, blah, 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 blah. Da, 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 it's in a mouse. I don't remember how the lyrics go. But it's a little kid doing the nursery rhyme. I have the audio still of the nursery rhyme. I actually have it in this computer, but I didn't have time to search it. So maybe Thursday I'll play it for you. But everybody in the arena is hearing this nursery rhyme. And it's, I think the very end of the nursery rhyme is, you know, like, will you appear? You know, like something like that. And right after the end of the nursery rhyme, New Jack's music started. You know, his theme song from the NWA. And then you hear it together, you're like, oh my God, that sounds fucking epic. Because you go from a little kid doing the Jack in the Box nursery rhyme to New Jack's music. And out of this giant box, New Jack was going to come out and beat the living shit out of Low Life Louis. That's what the storyline was. New Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box, New Jack. New Jack in the Box. Well, this guy, Sean the Mick, that worked for Frank Goodman at the time, who absolutely despised me, always sabotaged anything that I did. So what happens? Right as the nursery rhyme is playing, he tells New Jack, instead of New Jack going in the box, he tells New Jack, go hit the ring. So New Jack hits the ring. Music doesn't play. No box, not nothing. And this guy sabotaged the whole storyline. And it was so fucked up because what can I do? I didn't have any authority or power or anything like that. But over the years, being friendly with New Jack. And I've told this story a couple of times. Mish, we'll have a laugh about it on Monday. About 7 years ago, 8 years ago, Frank Goodman was going to have, I think he was doing a promotion called Pro Wrestling Extreme. I think it was PWX. He was going to do a show in Florida. And he was having a lot of New Yorkers go to Florida for the show. So he contacted me and he said, you want to manage on the show? I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll come down to Florida. So Louie and I were trying to, we were looking into Amtrak. We were going to go to Florida through Amtrak. And I was going to manage someone against New Jack. This was the year that New Jack was going to retire. So I start telling everybody, I'm going to go to Florida, I'm going to be managing, so I don't know who I'm managing yet, but whoever it is going to take on New Jack. Somehow the lines got crossed. I don't know if it was, again, Sean DeMick trying to sabotage things, or if it was a legit mistake. But I do, it was a Monday night. I do my show, like I always did on Monday. I go to sleep. Around 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. And especially when I pop Ambien, you ain't waking my ass up unless I have to go to the bathroom or I'm thirsty. My phone rings. I don't answer it. Phone rings again. I'm like, who the fuck is calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? And it's Mish. And Mish says to me, he says, DT, go on your Facebook page right now. Go on your page right now. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Now, at that time, we had an older Facebook page. We used to get a lot of trolls. So we got rid of that page. I thought it was just trolls going on the old Facebook page. And he's like, no, your personal page. Now, for those that don't know, my personal Facebook page, the only people that I'm friends with on there are people I know personally, relatives, friends from childhood, couple of wrestlers, we don't want to mention names, and Mish is the only person. Now I've met Mish in person, but Mish is the only person that I met online that is part of my personal Facebook page. No one else is. So when he's telling me go on my personal page, I thought I got hacked because I was saying to myself, who got on there? He wouldn't tell me what it was. I go on my Facebook page and there's a post from New Jack because Frank had posted the announcement of Florida, and I was going to do something, and he tagged me. He tagged New Jack. The way it was written, New Jack thought that I was going to face New Jack one-on-one in Florida. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, New Jack writes on my Facebook page, Frank, I'm fucking retiring. If you put me against that fat fuck that doesn't know how to fucking wrestle, I'm going to fucking cut him up and then you're going to make mass transit look like nothing. Don't fuck with me. Don't put me against this inexperienced fat fuck. And he just went off. Now, I'm friendly with this guy. And I'm saying to myself, whoa, I'm not having no match. So I went on New Jack's Facebook page at like 3:30 in the morning and I wrote in big capital letters. Now, I could have called in hindsight. I had his number, but I wrote in big capital letters, no. I'm supposed to manage someone. I would not do that to you. I wouldn't be disrespectful. I know you're retired. I wouldn't do that. So now I'm waiting, and I don't know, is he still online? Like, I didn't want this to start spreading because the last thing you want is New Jack, going after you. So about 10 minutes later, I get a little alert on my Facebook page. I look at it, and New Jack responded, and all he wrote was, my bad. I fucking laughed my ass off, but let me tell you, I shit bricks too. He just wrote, my bad, and then we had a good laugh on it on the Mass Maniac show after. So, like I said, and there's so many things I've left out, so many things. But this happened so late today that I haven't had a chance to go through the hours and hours and hours of podcasts that I did with the guy. And I wanted to put up like a 5-minute clip just so you could get a feel of the vibe of what it was like to do podcasts with him and also be friendly with the guy. And I found 5 minutes of audio. I didn't get a chance to enhance it. I have it here now. And just listen to it. Axel Rotten is on it also. And it's only about 5 or 6 minutes, but this will give you a good idea. I didn't even talk about this story when he was dating Terry Reynolds. And they did a photo shoot. Terry Reynolds was covered in blood. And New Jack took all these erotic photos of Terry Reynolds covered in blood. And I have the episode of the Mass Maniac show where New Jack is saying to me, Ant, I'm going to send you the pictures now. You got to put it on your website. I'm like, New Jack. And Mass Maniac is baiting him. He's like, Anthony, how could you turn him down? This is all live on the show. I have the episode. He's like, Ant, you got to put this up. Got to put it up. Ant, don't ever be a pussy. You got to put it up. And at the time, because of Wrestler's Rescue and Dawn Marie, and she was friends with Terry, like, I'm saying to myself, like, I don't want to be put in the middle of this. I felt really awful. I never put the pictures up. I'm sure you've seen these pictures by now. But you go look at all of these stories and realize, you know, how intertwined that I was with this guy. Mass Maniac had a very, very nice relationship with New Jack. They were very good friends. He was friends with New Jack for at least 20 years. Mass Maniac and New Jack really bonded well. And like I said, you know, I go back to the Tommy Dreamer tweet earlier today. If you were friends with New Jack, whether you were close or you were just casual friends, if you were friends with New Jack, you had nothing to worry about. You went against this guy or you rubbed him the wrong way, you know, he fucked with you. And, you know, to realize, I mean, 1996 is 25 years ago. So my first experience with New Jack was 25 years ago. And when I go back and I listen to it and, you know, he knows me by first name, talking to him on the phone, you know, even like calling my house, when are we doing the show? When are we doing the show? When are we doing the show? You know, it's like, it's almost surreal. And I know it's just New Jack for some of you can say, oh, it's just New Jack. It was a lot of other people as well. But I'm going to just play you 5 minutes. Oh, the hotel. Oh my God, the hotel. There's thousands of stories. Well, not thousands, but there's dozens of stories. But I'm going to play you now 5 minutes. Like I said, it was just random. I grabbed something quickly. And I wanted you to just get a feel of what the vibe was to interact with New Jack. Wasn't professional. Audio quality was shit. Remember, with going back 15 years now. But here's a little taste of what it was like to do shows with New Jack.
See, and for, you know, the funny part, Anthony is sitting back cracking the fuck up because finally, when you got your motherfucking little radio, motherfucking internet shit, somebody, you always out talking everybody. But Frank, you can't do that with me.
I should also say, warning, strong language. And when he says Anthony, I mean me, because everybody, in my personal life, just so you all know, I'm known as Anthony. I don't go by Tony in my real life. Some people call me Tony, but I always, my whole life, even now, I go by Anthony, so.
See, and for, you know, the funny part, Anthony is sitting back cracking the fuck up because finally, when you got your motherfucking little radio, motherfucking internet shit, somebody, you always out talking everybody. But Frank, you can't do that with me and Axel. Mass Maniac, I don't give a motherfucker how mad you get and start pounding and jump up on the motherfucking thing and try to punch somebody in the face. I don't care about how mad you get about this shit. It don't matter. When you start calling motherfuckers out like you did, Axel, try to put him on the spot, you know you did.
I didn't try to put him on the spot. Oh, shut the fuck up. I didn't try to put him on the spot. He knows it. He knows it.
Hey, Frank.
Let me tell you something. I've dealt with Axel's shit for years, and he dealt with my shit for years.
And Frank, let me ask you a question. What do you call a woman that can lick your nut and your butthole at the same time?
What?
Whatever she want to be called.
Did you call her baby?
You call You got a baby. Yeah, baby, ain't it? Fuck you. Don't be trying to get mad, Anthony. Shut up. Don't be trying to get mad, maniac.
How am I getting mad?
Tell
I asked
me
you
to
your
shut
phone
up.
Card ran out. Why would I get mad because you're talking about sex? I mean, I'm not mad.
Right now, I'm on Sprint. It's free up to 7, Richard. It don't matter. I can talk all night long. If you hit me at motherfucking 701, I'm hanging up. And this shit ain't going to be like one of your motherfucking shows. We ain't talking all goddamn night. The point has been made. We's done what we's going to do. Damn it.
All right, that sounds good.
Hello? Somebody say something.
Come on in.
To tag with Franco. He done got lost.
What?
Hello? How you doing?
Hey, brother. Hey, Ashley, let's do one of promo.
What, my brother?
All right, let me tell you something, brother. On June the 16th, brother, I'm going to put you in a headlock.
Hey,
on June 16th, brother, I'm going to put you in a headlock and stick my finger in your nose, and I'm going to pull your eyebrows, brother.
Yeah, I'll one of those generic wrestler promos. Let me tell you something, brother. On June 16th, see, when I come to Florida, brother, I'm going to get New Jack, and I'm going to put him in a headlock, dude, and I'm going to put him on the mat and put him in an atomic knee drop, brother.
Hey,
that's Axel Rotten.
Give me a favor. I want to talk to Axel for a second, so shut up for a second. Hey, Axel, did you see Tommy Cairo's running shows?
No, I had no clue he was still doing anything. Where's he running at, Jersey?
He's running shows in New Jersey. He opened up a wrestling school.
Sure,
Did you go to my MySpace?
Are you not using him?
What'd you say?
I said, would you have a falling out with him or something? You're not using him?
No. Me and Tommy have always been close. But his wife made him stay away from the wrestling business. Yeah, no, she didn't. She completely cut him off, said he couldn't do anything wrestling related because it was a bad influence on him. But I guess she said he can come back and do something.
Oh, it's good to know that he's got his life under control. His wife's allowing him to do stuff.
Yeah, but you know, for him it was a different situation.
Well, yeah,
because,
of course, but.
It's like we talked about a long time ago with Bigelow. You know, when Bam Bam was away from wrestling, you know, he had no demons. As soon as he was back in the locker room, there was problems.
I don't know about all that, man. I don't believe in all that shit, man.
I do.
No matter where you at.
I don't know. Like Tommy was different, though. When he wasn't around wrestling, he was just going doing construction, and he wasn't getting hurt. As soon as he started getting hurt, he had to start taking painkillers, and that led to other things.
Who are you talking about?
Tommy Cairo.
Did you start Tommy Rich ain't never done shit to you?
What?
What'd you say about Tommy Rich?
I didn't say Tommy Rich. I said Tommy Cairo can kick your ass. That's what I said.
Hey, and you know what? He probably could.
And you know who else could kick your ass?
Who?
Manny Fernandez would kick your ass all over the place.
Hey, friend, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why are you riding on other motherfuckers' dick?
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, New Jack.
From one grown man to another, what would make you say another man can whoop my motherfucking ass? You couldn't be my ass if I laid down and tooted up, motherfucker. You couldn't do it. I wouldn't give a fuck, Frank. I'd beat you beyond recognition. Your kids wouldn't even be calling you dead. They'd be calling you home.
If you didn't have a weapons, I would rip your fucking scrawny arms out of the socket and beat you with them. The only problem is I'd have to deal with you coming back and doing something bad with a weapon.
Wait a minute. What'd you say about my baloney? You said you would do what to my baloney? Hey, you can talk about my mom, but don't you ever in your life talk about my baloney again.
Remember, New Jack, he Googles you.
Motherfucker. Now, I don't mind you talking about my mom, but next time you talk about my baloney, bro, I got to come through the phone.
Oh,
remember, New Jack. Remember, New Jack. He Googles you.
I want my daddy's record.
I want my daddy's record.
I want my goddamn baloney again. I'll kill your motherfucking ass, motherfucker.
I want my daddy's record.
Good googly goo.
Yeah, Maniac, have you Googled anybody else lately?
Like who?
I want my daddy's record.
I want my daddy's record.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you about it. I'm a vet Twitter business. I want you to hear something. Now, everybody be quiet on the count of three. Be quiet. All right.
Frank, eat a pussy.
And the next time you talk about my baloney pussy head,
it's on.
Yeah, but you didn't count to three.
Huh?
I was waiting for you to count to three.
Oh, three.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the New Jack, Axel Rotten, Anthony, Maz Maniac, Frank Hour.
This is pretty bad. And I think none of us can come up with anything better to do tonight.
Oh, man. What memories, man. Seriously. Oh, you know, as the years go by, you realize, you know, time on this earth is not guaranteed. And I know there's always been talk of Maniac and I doing a show again, you know, once in a while. And to think that we can't ever do a show with this guy again. Axel Rotten's already taken from us, too. But, yeah, I just wanted to share a little memory. Sad, but, you know, this is why I'm so thankful that I recorded everything and kept a lot. I didn't keep everything. Hard drives do fail, and over the years, you throw one out instead of just putting it in a drawer and hoping that maybe somebody could fix it down the line. But I have enough archive. I have hours and hours, and I mean, some of the stuff, even with New Jack and myself talking about, he tells me the definition of an asshole, which Mish actually turned into a promo. There's some awesome ones. You guys haven't heard the ones with Norman Smiley, with Too Cold Scorpio, D'Lo Brown. We did the trivia contest on Thursday. That audio was us talking to D'Lo Brown. But I tell you, it's just sad. And we just finished talking last week about New Jack. And when I became friendly with Vic Grimes, and, you know, one of the things I always wanted to ask him was, you know, what the deal with New Jack. And you got to find your spots, you know. And at the time, I didn't think it was the right time to bring it up, and I never did. But, yeah, it's, no, it's sad, Kavan. I mean, I hadn't, the last time I talked to New Jack was probably about 5 years ago. You know, it's just sad. It's sad. And, you know, as the years go by, you know, you realize that, you know, it's going to be our time to go. We never know when. And he died at 58 years old. And that's a shame. That's a shame. But, you know, like I said, the one consolation is I have hours and hours of this. I will share it. And, you know, as I've said before, when you see when I play the indie wrestling stuff on Thursdays, I've come to realize something that I never really thought about until I came to YouTube. And that is, there's a lot of podcasters out there that I don't think ever wanted revealed all the stuff that I did in the past. Not just the indie wrestling stuff, but even before it was even podcasts. I mean, what you just heard was from 2007. But I have stuff that goes back to 2002. Nobody was doing podcasts at that time. So, you know, the more, you know, I start bringing this stuff out there, I think the more it separates you know, like the stuff that we did back in the day compared to others out there. And I think there's almost like a little bitterness of that. And that's freaking sad, man. You almost feel like people are bitter that it's a weird vibe. And I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Like people are almost bitter because I could take pride and say that I became friends with this guy over the years. Not close, but, you know, the story of talking to him in 96 and then bailing him out and then doing shows with him, podcasts, doing storylines with him, you know, him thinking that I was going to fight him in the ring and, you know, this story after story after story. What other podcaster could say that other than the Masked Man? What other podcaster? So that's why I think sometimes, you know, I absolutely love the fact that I am now able to share with you a lot of my past from 2000 to maybe 7-8 years ago, because I think a lot of you out there probably became word of even the stuff I was doing when TV Tracks was around. And, you know, more and more as I bring this stuff out there, you realize I wasn't just doing a wrestling hotline and in a podcast. There was a lot of other things going on. And to be able to play this again, and if you thought that was funny, there's other things that we're laughing so hard that my medulla oblongata would swell up. I mean, but tonight, I just wanted you to hear the vibe. Because again, New Jack is New Jack. And New Jack, I know, never regretted the aura that he built himself in wrestling. But there's a lot of people out there that when they think of New Jack, they just think garbage wrestler, mass transit. You know, I think his work with Shark Boy was so important to show that comedy side of New Jack. The stuff with Shark Boy when they had the oversized gloves and stuff, we talked about that on Maniac Show, which you'll hear in the near future. That side of New Jack, not a lot of people got to see in wrestling. And I know some people even now would say, what are you talking about? This guy was a maniac. He almost killed Vic Grimes. Look what he did to Mass Transit. Look at some of the other things. He had a criminal record, this and that. By the time I get through all the archive stuff that I have of my interaction with this guy, you realize that this guy was a really, really genuinely friendly person. I even saw Mickey James tonight posted a little tweet that the locker room she shared with him a few times, he was nothing but nice and sweet. You know, obviously that's not the persona that New Jack would want people to think of him. But to be able to just lay back and just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, and there's a comfort zone that you don't have to worry about going over the top. You know, you don't have to worry about him snapping on you and this and that. And that was awesome, man. That was awesome. I got to thank the Mass Maniac for introducing me to a lot of people. You know, Bam Bam Bigelow. I mean, a lot of people to this day still don't even know the friendship that I have with Bam Bam Bigelow. You know, some people don't even know about the ECW ring stuff and the Lawrence Taylor stuff and all that. You know, we'll share those stories down the line. But, you know, he's the one that introduced me to a lot of these people. And to become some type of friendship with them, that's awesome. And I tell you, the thing that made me feel good the most was going to an indie wrestling event, even if I was just there going to visit friends. Yo, Anthony! I mean, it's just a nice feeling. It's a nice feeling. So I was always a fan of New Jack. Anybody that's ever gone back to me in 1997 knows I never said a bad thing about this guy. He had his issues, obviously, but the New Jack that I knew and the Mass Maniac knew, totally different than some of the stuff you saw on video and other things. So rest in peace, New Jack. Rest in peace. So I'm going to get out of here, everyone. I don't know if I'll do it over the weekend with the pay-per-view coming up, and I got to pick up my better half tomorrow morning. She's not here tonight. So this weekend's going to be a little bit hectic. But I'll probably get some stuff together for Thursday, play a couple of clips here and there. I'll find some of the funniest shit. And I, like I said, even if you were never a fan of the guy, even if you have this certain perception of him, when I get through with you, you're going to turn around and you're going to say, man, he was fucking one hilarious motherfucker. I really, really liked the guy. And it's still surreal to think back in 1996, him calling my office. You know, you just picture that for a minute. I mean, I'm gonna end the show now, but just picture that for a minute. Think about New Jack, 1996, right around mass transit time, all right? Unhinged in a lot of people's eyes, and somebody in ECW, I don't know to this day, because I asked him at the time, and he didn't know. And I asked him on the Maniac show, and he couldn't remember either. But what I asked him, and I'm like, who told you to call me? I got this paper. I got this paper. It said, call this kid. I don't know who handed him the paper, but I'm just thinking back, like, somebody in ECW, not Tommy Dreamer, not Bubba Ray, not Paul Heyman, not any of the other ECW stars, that Dujak? Call this kid in New York, had a bad car accident, almost died, big ECW fan. Like, would you think New Jack would be high on that list of everybody that's there? Here, call. He was the only one that I ever called. I got a very cool autographed photo from Rob Van Dam. He had just gotten married at the time, and I always remember his wife's name, Sorrel, from the thing. I don't have it anymore. I had sold it a long time ago when I got rid of my autograph collection, but he wrote me this whole letter, Rob Van Dam, about marriage and stuff like that. Some of the stuff that came in, I was blown away. I was like, wow, this is freaking awesome. Made me feel good. But I always thought to myself, like, I just can't picture New Jack out of the entire roster. Here, call this guy. That's pretty weird, man, right? Pretty weird. So, anyway, that's for Nier. Everyone else out there, much love. To Neil, Jay Carlos, and everyone else, I thank you for tuning in as always. It would definitely be wrong for me to not give a shout out to our great channel members. Now, I owe my channel members a Q&A. As of now, I still plan on doing it tomorrow. I have everybody's questions put aside. Some of you out there, you know, keep in mind, you know, that when you ask 20 questions, 30 questions for a Q&A that's only supposed to run about an hour for our members, I have to kind of like bundle your questions together. You know, people usually send in 1, 2, 3 questions, but, you know, some of you out there send 20, 30 questions. So I will have to, you know, bundle it as much as I can. Some of it is rapid fire, so it's easy to get through. But I'll definitely be doing that tomorrow. If we run into any little delay, then I might do it on Sunday. But sometime next week, I will get some additional footage together to share with you next week for some more New Jack stuff and everything. But Jay Carlos, there's a thread in the channel member section. You just look at the post. Look at the post where you see me pouring Ajax on Lowlife Louie's bloody head. You'll see that post. If you're still not sure, DM me on Twitter and I'll send you the link and you could submit away. So you could send me questions tonight. It's not too late. So, and I got the voicemail there too if anybody wants to leave a message. So everyone, as always, if you enjoyed the show, yeah, we got the right word on there tonight. Like, share, subscribe. Like, share, subscribe. Post your comments, you know, if you were a fan of New Jack, if you hated New Jack, you know, post your comments below. I will definitely interact with everybody who does respond. What do you think of SmackDown? Now, remember also for our channel members, I am going to do a predictions contest for Sunday. So, and there will be a tiebreaker this time, so we don't have to worry about any controversy. So for my channel members, look out for that too. I will put the contest up probably Saturday evening. Give everybody about 24 hours to put their entry in. But if you're not around Sunday, Join Mish and I Monday night after Raw for a Raw recap and anything else that's going on. And that's pretty much it. So everyone, be well. And hopefully I did right tonight, paying a little tribute to New Jack. Not necessarily one that would get, you would think, get a lot of tributes out there, but definitely the most interesting, unique, controversial person I've ever known in my lifetime, personally. So, guys, gals, have a great night. Have a great weekend. Thank you, as always, for the support. Means more than you can ever imagine. And hopefully, you know, I do my job on getting your mind off of your everyday problems as well. So, have a good weekend, everyone. Be well. Take care.